It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. Very happy to be here. In fact, my two partners in crime, we have Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, man?
What's going on, David?
And Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, dude?
Good evening, guys. Looking forward to hopefully some baseball tomorrow if the weather will cooperate.
I think so. In fact, I'm having flashbacks right now, folks, because I actually right now am thinking about Sunday. It's raining actually harder. I think if we were in the mountains, this would be snow, but the precipitation.
Hey, we've been getting sleet over here in Lake Range.
All right, there you go. I think it's more that way too here. Actually, I'm trying to be careful here. But anyway, guys, wanted to bring you in. Big game coming up today with Campbell. The Camels, and I know, Bubba, we got a very special guest. Coach Justin Hare is going to join us.
Yeah, we caught up with him, and he's a tremendous coach. He's someone that has been at Campbell for more than a decade. I think it's 12 years now. This is his fifth as head coach after getting the job after serving on Coach Goff's staff when he left to go to La Tech. He's certainly done a good job continuing on what Coach Goff had started and really taking it to another level. And they've been in regionals two out of the last 3 years. And then last year they won the regular season and the tournament championship in the Big South.
No doubt. And we'll actually have his interview, and we'll talk a little college baseball with East Carolina, and we'll do that in a little bit. But, guys, I wanted to bring you in for the roundtable right now because – today's actually the day being Wednesday that the season football tickets go on sale. Kyle, I guess that's why you're so excited, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Season tickets go on sale tomorrow morning or Wednesday morning. Depends on when we're dropping this. They go on sale at 9 o'clock Wednesday morning.
Yes, Wednesday was when we're dropping it. And we're having a great time with that. And I want to give a shout-out to the athletic department. I think they did another great job, another from the helm with John Gilbert, and guys, I thought it was great. They have different priority deadlines, and you could have the chance to win certain items, right?
Yeah. If you're one of the first 100 people to purchase your tickets, you automatically get a free pizza from Pizza Hut. You get entered in a chance to win pizza for a year. You could win 4 seats in the new scholarship club level seating. For one game of your choice, you could win 4 tickets to go see Navy on the road, with some of the other stuff.
You actually get a chance to sit with Kyle for a game. That was another one, right?
Oh, man. Oh,
no, that's not real. They probably, people would be like, oh, my God, where do I sign up?
Right.
No, that was a silly joke. So, no, that's not one of them. And I know that Ryan Robinson will probably
get in trouble. Glad you cleared that.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you want to sit with Kyle, I'm sure.
Yeah, you actually get to sit with David.
Yeah,
he'll break the game down for you. He'll break the game down for you the whole game.
Yeah, I will. Kyle will actually, I'm sure, say, if you're very religious, don't sit with Kyle at the games. I'll just leave it at that, right, Kyle?
I mean, depends on how easily you're offended. I mean, I try to keep it to PG-13. Try to keep the F-bombs in tow.
Okay, all right. You save that when you're riding home, maybe?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. When Coach Montgomery was here, it got to the point where you just gave up on even being mad, so there was no cussing and yelling at the games. But
yeah, you're
the
just
early,
there.
The early days under Coach Montgomery, you might not have wanted to sit beside me if you're a churchgoer.
It's kind of like a wrestling event. You were like throwing a chair in the ring. You're throwing chairs, I think.
Whew, sometimes you wanted to. Everybody did.
I'm not alone. I definitely, that's probably the maddest I've ever been at a football. I'm probably saying that's the maddest I've ever been at a game. Is
which one?
Oh, gosh. You put me on the spot. I'll have to think about which game was I'm the maddest. And we probably could put a poll. That would be a great poll.
How about North Carolina A&T? Can we just go ahead and go North Carolina A&T?
Yes, that's probably yes.
Right,
oh, okay. I got it. Now that you said that, the maddest I've ever been was definitely that JMU game.
No, I was much more mad after A&T.
No, I really, I, well, A&T, by then, I was hoping we could win it, but, you know, I knew that there was, because of the loss, the JMU
loss. In fact,
loss,
it is on tape how mad I was after the A&T game. If anybody wants to go to the Sports Objective Audio Archives, that's a classic.
That is actually, by the way, folks.
He said I was throwing crap. He said, frankly, I was just acting like a baby.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh,
one
gosh.
Of my favorite, as bad as that show was, of course, how mad we were, that's one of the best shows we've ever done.
He said I was stomping around.
Yeah, I think that has to be that was up there. But as far as the one that I was really the most hurt was, I think the JMU game. I really was thinking that we could pull that one out like by a touchdown.
Right.
And then when they, I'm saying before the game, and then even though Kyle, I remember you on Pirate Radio after that Temple loss, you're like, you can count on it. We're gonna lose to James Madison. And I'll never forget that. And then I was like, thank God I'm not the only one on the planet that thinks that we're going to lose to JMU. And people thought I was being negative. Now I said, JMU is a very good football team. The people that don't follow college football. But anyway, season tickets are on sale, 1-800-DIAL-ECU, or you can simply go online, ecupirates.com.
Yeah. Get them.
And get your tickets.
Pretty much anybody who's going to take time to listen to this podcast is going to get season tickets.
Oh, yeah. We're
so
preaching to the choir right now.
But, well, if you happen to be out there and you've been pissed the last few years, God knows it's understandable with the way things were handled with Ruff and with Jeff Comfer, with Scotty Montgomery. All those clowns are gone. There's still one clown there. We won't even get into that right now. But on the athletic side, all the clowns are gone.
And let me say, that was one good thing.
Yeah, and so go buy your season tickets. If you're pissed, it's time to get over it. Support Coach Houston. Support John Gilbert. Support all the new people in the administration.
Right.
And go buy your season tickets. And bottom line, support the damn university and get us out of debt. And
I think that will happen, and the way it'll happen is because I firmly believe. I said this tonight, by the way, folks, to guys. To the man wouldn't take the bet with me. I'm not normally a betting man, but I told him that Coach Houston will have more wins in September than Montgomery was ever able to win each year. I think you'll have at least four wins in September. I really do, 4-1, but I really believe strongly that he'll do that well. But anyway, he wouldn't take that bet. So, because I said
so
that because
we got five games. First game's in August, so we play four for the month of September. So by the end of September, counting the August game, you think we'll be 4-1?
I really do. I just have a good feeling
about it. It's possible. I mean, it's possible. You think William and Mary's a win. You think, anyway. Gardner Webb, it certainly should better be a win.
And Old Dominion, I thought, was a
well,
win.
You don't discount Old Dominion, but you figure hopefully that should be a win. No disrespect, though, to you.
No, not at all. I'm not saying it's a blowout. They're a really good.
They gave us all
team.
We wanted last year.
Yeah,
they made some good hires. I like some of their new staff hires.
I like their defensive coordinator and David
like
Blackwell, Derek Riley.
Yeah, they made some good hires.
That's
a game that we certainly have a good chance to win. So that would be three. So you're saying we're going to get Navy or State?
Yeah, I will lean. This is what hurts. This is the part that hurts. Is I'm leaning that we win that Navy game. I'm on the fence about that. That's why I'm going 4-1. I'm on the fence. I would love to beat State. Don't get me wrong. So don't take it the wrong way. That one's the one that I can see it go either way. That's the one I'm going
to look. I'd like to win either one of them. I'd take either one of them. Quite frankly, in the end of September, if we're 3-2, I'll be pretty happy. If we only lost State Navy. I mean,
hey, after what we've been through the last few years, 3-2 in September is we'll take it.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah,
that's a winning season.
That would be handling your FCS games, beat Old Dominion on the road, and then.
Yeah.
And then that leaves, conference play open up Thursday night with Temple. But 4-1, that'd be, people would be flipping cars over in Greenville.
No doubt.
I'm not Nostradamus, but
you know what we would do even if we went 4-1?
What?
We would do cross bumps.
There you go. Sounds good to me. I'll do it. Whatever. I'll do a backflip if we go 4-1. But
yeah.
I tell you what, though, guys, have either of y'all made that trip to Navy?
I want to go really bad.
That would be a fun road trip because I made it Skip Holtz's second year. My parents and I went up there in 06, and we lost a close ball game.
We owe them, too.
Something like 27-23. We did a good job that day. It sounds crazy saying this, but we did give up 400 yards rushing.
We didn't give up the big play.
They didn't have a rush more than about 15 to 20 yards. They didn't have but one or two of those. We just died a slow death, so to speak. They would get 4 yards, 5 yards, and just have those 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2s all day long, and they would convert them. But and then we had an opportunity.
About 8 minutes.
And then the play that really stands out for me in that game is when Van Eskridge batted that ball, and he would have walked in the end zone but wasn't able to keep his feet. So that would have been a touchdown there, and we ended up losing the game by 4.
Well, I think with, by the way, the Mike Houston era, I really believe the coaches that he's hired are tremendous. The recruiting is going to be off the charts. Give Mike Houston 3 or 4 years. Wow. Watch what Mike Houston can do. And by the 3rd or 4th year, I'll just say that. I won't talk about the previous administration for sure. But another thing I want to mention, guys, before I forget, too, is
go Maryland.
how hurt I was on Sunday after the basketball game. I really thought we were going to win that game. We started off slow, but I really believe that Coach Dooley has turned the program around. And it's weird to say that with only having 9 wins at this point. But look how many games we've been competitive, and we're so close. I mean, you know, Kyle, we were talking, and I know Bubba is like, we're so close. We're so competitive. And I wanted to hug the players and Coach Dooley because it was just one of those moments where
David.
Yeah, I'm sure that would go over well. But it just is a moment that you feel like you're part of the team because you believe in them and you know that when they are trying really hard, they are practicing really hard. I think another thing that's impressive is this coaching staff. One thing that came to mind is by this point, with the losses mounting, what is it, 9-16, Bubba now?
Yeah, they 25 keep games. They keep fighting. That's, you know, there was that one game where I think Coach got aggravated with the way they played against Wichita State. And since then, they've been fighting hard again and giving effort. And that's all I want to see. There's something I have noticed, and I'm sure Coach is pointing this out. At the end of regulation, it seems like guys, somebody's got to step up and make a play. It seemed like nobody wanted to take a shot. Guys were scared. Sean Williams, you know, just turns the ball over. Guys, you got to step up and make a play. Even if you miss the shot, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Right.
So somebody has got to step up and try to make a play there and just go for it. I mean, don't play scared. I mean, that's one thing I've noticed us do.
Yeah.
Towards the end of games, we get tight and we start playing scared, and you just hang loose, keep playing, and I guarantee you, if you play like that, you're going to lose. So quit being scared. That's what I look. It maybe scares not the right word, but if y'all notice that at the end of it,
they're very tentative. Yeah. No, you. One thing they mentioned is finishing plays. They make great moves to the basket and can't finish. That's one thing. But I really feel like one thing that's been noticed.
I don't even remember who made the play. I'm trying to remember. I'm just so vague. Neither one of you know what I'm talking about because I'm so vague. Cause I can't even remember what player it was. But it was late in the second half, maybe with about 5 minutes to go. One of our guys made a move towards the basket and did finish it, and it was unbelievable. he got a step on the defender so fast and just drove to the basket. Do you happen to remember what play I'm talking about and who it was?
Was it Seth Ledet? I mean, he had some.
It may have been Ledet. Now that you say that, I don't know. But
Seth Ledet had some nice moves. I'm not sure, but I can tell you that we have one great thing is they're fighting. The first thing that you have to do, and the same thing we have to do right now with football, is instead of like where we've had these embarrassing losses that we've talked about ad nauseum, you have to be competitive. And I think that even though we're 9-16 right now, you cannot argue. There's some games we were not competitive, but for example, the Georgia Tech and the Houston game, we're just not even we're close to their level. But as far as the rest of the games, I feel like that we've been in them. It's been a common theme that we've started very slow in a lot of the games. It's like a tale of two halves, and for the most part. But I think one thing, Kyle, I've been very impressed with. Have you seen? I know Bubba has. I think you have too. The level recruiting that the Rockstar staff, they're going after guys that the other staffs were too intimidated to recruit. Like, oh, they'll never come here. And they have actually said, look, come to East Carolina, and you can actually be playing in a great league. And guess what? Instead of sitting on the bench in an ACC school, you can actually come to East Carolina, and you can get great minutes, and you can get exposure with NBA scouts will be there because, like, the guy from Memphis next year. What is his name? Oh, my gosh.
Your name is David.
No, what is his name is what I'm trying to say. His name, I can't think of his name. But anyway, it's a really tall basketball player. He's from Memphis.
A really tall basketball player.
No, he actually is from Memphis, staying home. Penny Hardaway recruited him. He's like a one-and-done player, but he decided to stay in Memphis. He's supposed to go to Kentucky, and Kentucky fans are mad because he didn't go there, and there's like death threats, but that's a whole nother show. But anyway, there was death threats for him because he was going to stay in Memphis and not go to Kentucky.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's a whole nother podcast, how I feel about Kentucky. But anyway, sorry, Ryan Robinson. He's a Kentucky grad. But anyway, so as far as Memphis is concerned,
that is James Wiseman.
Thank you. God, I couldn't believe. Yeah, no pressure, Dave, no pressure. But anyway, he's going to be tremendous. And Dewey even said, by the way, guys, that he's telling players that if you want to come to East Carolina, you're going to be playing in the American, and you're going to be playing against that guy who's got probably, I don't know, 30, 40 scouts a game. It's going to be a lot at every one of his games for Memphis. So you're on the ESPN. I mean, who would have ever thought, those of us that love East Carolina, who would have ever thought that East Carolina basketball would be on ESPN? Like, we're spoiled now, man. It used to be just radio. As much as I love Jeff, we were hardly on.
Don't forget Home Team Sports, Dave.
Well, HTS.
That always has a special place in my heart. But
George Johnson, Kevin Greavy.
That's right, Greavy. We need to get them on. That'll be great.
And then we had years and years where we had sporadic games on CBS,
Glenn Consor,
Fox Sports Net, but the ESPN coverage, even if we're on delegated to ESPN3,
that's fine.
At least it's something everybody can get.
Yeah, and with the technology now, I mean, it's crazy that we can watch it on the phone. And I love the fact that, I mean, baseball, something that's very important to me is I'm hoping, I know, Bubba, I've talked to you about it, I know, but we really need to have, I'm hoping that college baseball as a whole needs to have more coverage. I feel they're doing better.
That's something that the American needs to get as part of their next media rights deal. There's a lot of conferences that have ESPN3 or ESPN+ coverage for baseball, and we do not. And
that's a good point. Yeah,
that is something that the American needs to address. We should have ESPN+ or ESPN3 coverage for baseball for all home games, and hopefully, like I say, the next TV contract will take care of that.
Well, you know, Bubba, let's talk about, and then let's get to our, we need to get our, let's go to our guest first. Very happy to have Justin Hare, right?
Yeah, Justin Hare, the fifth-year head coach of the Campbell Camels. I'm very excited to have him on, taking a look at tonight's matchup, 5 o'clock in Bowie's Creek. The game's a sellout. I saw that yesterday on the Campbell website. And so actually a funny comment or two from Coach Hare about this game being a sellout. Let's go to that interview now.
Very happy to have our next guest who we have a game with, and that's against Campbell on Wednesday night. And we want to welcome in Coach Justin Hare. Coach, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me on, man. Looking forward to breaking it down with you guys for a little bit.
That's right. Want to see about the game tomorrow night. First off, we're recording this on right at Tuesday at lunchtime. Is the game still on as far as you know?
Yeah, game's still on. We've got turf, you know, so that allows us for, basically if it stops raining, you know, we should be good to go. You know, that's kind of our deal. And so the only thing on our field that's not turf is the mound. So we should be good to go. I think it's supposed to get out of here kind of mid-afternoon. And it might be a little chilly. It might be a little bit damp. But I think it's going to stop. And hopefully around game time, we'll be good to go and get it on with the Pirates.
All right. That sounds good because I know you guys have a tremendous program. We want to talk about this past weekend. I know that had a big win over Maryland. Can you talk about that on Friday?
Yeah, you know, really fun weekend down at Coastal Carolina. They always bring in a bunch of good teams, so I had an opportunity to play a Big Ten opponent, you know, opening day, and Maryland's very solid. Coach Bond does a great job up there, you know, preparing his guys, and got down 4-0 early, and were able to kind of come back there in the middle innings and put together some runs. I think it was 5-3 going into the seventh. We were down and was able to extend, take a 6-5 lead. We blew a save in the ninth and were able to come back out and score 4 in the top of the tenth to kind of put it away. So fortunate to get out of there and just fun to see our guys go out and compete and play somebody in a different colored uniform, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. No, Bubba, that we have Saturday.
Yeah,
you want to talk
on
about
Saturday it was a little bit of a role reversal. And that's what you guys led 6-3 in the middle innings, and then I know VCU plated 5 in the top of the sixth, I believe it was. So, and then your comeback fell just shy in the bottom of the ninth. So, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah,
and then,
I'm
sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was, and then one of the guys I was going to say that I noticed had an excellent weekend, particularly those first 2 days against Maryland, VCU. With Colin Wolf.
So VCU, man, we played ourselves right out of that one. You know, we put a 3-spot up in the fifth and was up 6-3 and normally, you know, that's a game that we feel like we should be able to close out those last 4 innings and get a win right there and came out in the sixth and walked a guy, gave up a hit, walked a guy, and all of a sudden it's bases loaded, nobody out. Right after we put up a 3-spot. So definitely not what we're looking for, coming right back out of the chute after a big inning there in the fifth. Misplayed a ground ball and just basically we kind of just screwed up the whole inning and didn't pitch well, didn't play defense well, and a bad combination of those two things. Gave up a 5-spot and had some pressure on in the ninth. Grounded to an inning-ending double play, a hard hit, one hot ball right at their shortstop, 6-4-3 double play with runners at first and second, you know, down one. So, we were on the cusp, really felt like we kind of gave that one away. But our guys battled and they stayed in the fight. And I think the first weekend when you're playing quality teams, I think that's half the battle is just being able to kind of stay in the fight and have some confidence in what you're doing and give yourself a chance to win late. So Colin Wolf, junior college transfer from Tacoma Community College out in the Pacific Northwest, just a really good ball player, plays second base for us. you know, just, you know, a very average athlete, but really plus feel for the game. He's just your prototypical ball player, man. Has really good feel for what he's doing, and put together a pretty good weekend for us, and strung together a bunch of really productive at bats, and had some big knocks for us, and you know, worked some walks and a hit by pitch and stuff in there too to kind of you know, turn our lineup over into, you know, back up to the top there at the bottom. So he was really good for us, and played really good defense at second as well.
And then I know that we actually talked to Coach Gilmore last week, but you guys have a tough day at the office on Sunday. I know they got a great program. They're playing at home, but I believe the score was 11-2 on Sunday.
Yeah, we just got a bad start, man. We gave up 5 in the first 3 innings, walked 6 guys. You know, a kid named Kevin Westlake, left-handed pitcher, who's going to be fine. He's one of our better arms. He's left-hander up to 92. He just, you know, his first start at this level, he's a transfer from Lewisburg Junior College and just struggled, you know, just struggled with his fastball command out of the gate and put us, you know, a little bit in the hole. And we battled back, made it 7-2 in the middle innings and you know, just weren't really, you know, just really didn't play that well, to be honest with you, on Sunday. Our guys played hard, but we didn't play that well. You know, missed some opportunities, hit into some double plays that are, you know, not customary for us to hit into a bunch of double plays. But, you know, some middle of the order guys had some opportunities to drive some guys in, and we didn't do it, you know. And so couple that with a bad start against a good team, and you don't have a very good chance to win.
Well, the good news about baseball, we always tell people, they're like, oh, my God, how many games? Good grief, whatever, talking about this stuff. And I said, well, the good news about baseball, it's a marathon and not a sprint. So the good news, not like football where you have, that would be, hurt really bad to lose a couple early, but you guys have so many games to play. It's kind of like you don't want to get too high and too low after the first weekend.
Yeah, you know, last year we opened up with a really good St. John's team, and we went 0-3 at home, and we scored 3 runs on the weekend and punched out about 35 times. So I feel a little bit better about where we are after weekend 1 than I did if we would have talked 365 days ago. So, you know, I think the biggest thing, and we met about it as a staff this morning, I think the biggest thing is just to be able to identify the areas that we struggled and that we need to get better at, things that we did poorly that we need to stop doing, and the things that we did well that we want to continue to try to do, and just try to emphasize those things, identify those things, and come up with a good plan for our guys on a daily basis to keep getting better. Because like you said, I mean, it's a 15-week regular season. So, I mean, we're 1/15th of the way through what we're trying to do. I mean, if we're ready to shut it down right now, 1/15th of the way in, then we're not going to be worth a darn anyway. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is just to continue to learn and get better and put together a good plan for our guys to improve and get better every single day. And hopefully, you know, 15 weeks from now, we're playing a lot better than we're playing right now.
Well, Coach, I know overall, between this being assistant and full-time coach or head coach, you've actually been there 12 years, I think, and
yep.
Collectively. And the one thing I've been impressed with, 2 regionals in the last 3 years. Can you talk about how you built the program? I mean, I know it's not something simple like an easy formula, but can you give us an idea of where you started with the program and then where it is? Obviously, we know where it is today.
Right, sure. Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing for us when we got here in the fall of 2007, it hadn't been very good for a little while. They had struggled, not had a bunch of success. And so, you know, not being from this area and our staff, nobody from our staff, you know, our two full-time assistants and head coach at the time, we weren't from around here. We had no history of Campbell or you know, really college baseball in North Carolina, other than knowing there was good teams, but having not been here, played here, and all that kind of stuff. Just trying to find the right fit for our program. One, we wanted to figure out what kind of culture we needed to build, what kind of discipline we needed to instill within our program, what kind of players fit into that program, what kind of players fit into the school here, what kind of niche could we find that would help us, you know, bridge the gap between where we were and where we wanted to get to. And so that was the very first thing. And so over the course of time, man, sometimes the game just gives you the answers. You know, over the course of time, we've had a lot of success with junior college players you know, guys that are maybe a little bit underlooked or a little undersized, but have some value. We've had a lot of success with hard-nosed kids. We're not a school that is going to sign a bunch of top 100 recruits. And so we talk about trying to do a little bit more with less, you know, and really coach our guys up and put them in a situation and in a system to be successful. And so that's kind of how we went about it. And we've had a lot of success that way, especially over the last, you know, 6 or 7 years, we've kind of turned the corner from a facility standpoint and, you know, really just been able to find guys that want to compete for championships, that want to get a great degree and really want to find out how good of a baseball player they can become. And those are the guys that thrive in our program. You have guys that are good baseball players that want to find out how good they can be at chasing girls or going out on Friday or Saturday or Sunday night. Well, we don't have a big downtown scene here. That's not our deal. We want guys that are spending their Friday nights in the indoor finding out how good of hitters they can become and finding out how good of baseball players they can become. And when we find those guys tend to thrive in our program.
Coach, I know that moving ahead till tomorrow night for Wednesday against East Carolina, I know you guys were the Big South, for folks that don't know, Big South and regular season and tournament champs last year. And to put you on the spot, have you named the pitcher, starting pitcher for tomorrow night?
Yeah, we're going to throw a right-handed pitcher, a kid named Seth Johnson. He's a junior. He is a junior college transfer, also from Lewisburg Junior College. And this will be his first collegiate start. So we'll see, man. It should be a good night for us. You know, he's been really good for us. I mean, he threw 6 innings at junior college in his junior college career. He went to junior college as a shortstop. He's from the Charlotte area, went to junior college as a shortstop. And about halfway through the year, they put him on the mound last year and he's got a pretty good arm. And we signed him as a pitcher, you know, to come in and develop. And he's done a really good job through the fall and early spring so far. And he's a guy that we expect big things out of because he's a really good worker and has got a high upside. And you know, hopefully he can go out there and have a good night tomorrow night.
Coach, I wanted to ask you as far as about East Carolina, what do you know about Coach Godwin and what do you know about the Pirate team?
Well, I know that they do a lot of things right. You know, I feel like every year when we get a chance to play them, and Coach Godwin's been really good to us and super respectful. You know, this is his 5th year here. This is my 5th year as head coach. We kind of, you know, became head coaches the same year and stuff. And you know, he's always been great. We play every single year a home and home series basically. And staff's really good. Known Jeff and you know, all those guys over there and Dan and all those guys for a long time. Dan was at Florida Gulf Coast when I was this first, you know, when I was the assistant here and we would play each other in the old Atlantic Sun. So I've known those guys for a while and they do a tremendous job. They recruit the screws off of it, man. And they coach the screws off of their guys. So we always know we're going to be in for a really good battle. It's always a first week of the year is always a good time to see kind of where we stack up. And East Carolina has been a really good measuring stick for us. You know, where are we from a program standpoint? Where are we from a player standpoint? Do we stack up? Do we feel like, you know, hopefully by the time we get to a regional type atmosphere, do we feel like we're on the same level or can be on the same level as these guys? You know, so it's fun to play those guys because it always seems to be competitive and always seems to be back and forth. You know, and so I look forward to those nights, you know, those nights that you get challenged a little bit and they're always going to be ready to play. And so it's always been really fun.
My understanding of the play-by-play voice on Sunday night told us, Corey Glory, it's a beautiful ballpark. He said, you better go ahead and get your tickets because he feels like it's going to be a sellout. Do you know, I know you don't sell tickets, but have you heard if it's a sellout for East Carolina?
I think so. You know, I think we've sold out the last two or three years that they've come over here, and so I would assume so. One of the scout texted me this morning and said his neighbor was trying to get a ticket, and they said that it was sold out. So I guess it's going to be a sellout. You know, it's we've got about 1,100 seats or so, and there'll probably be about 1,400 people here and a bunch of standing room only and whatever. So I keep telling them, you know, maybe if we can win one of these against East Carolina, maybe they'll let me expand the stadium a little bit. So who knows? Could be a big game for us tomorrow night if we get a win. Maybe next year we'll have, you know, another 1,000 seats or something. Who knows?
Well, there's always StubHub, so you can go in there and get your – or maybe a scalper in the parking lot. But
there you go. I'm thinking about selling my extra season tickets because my wife got church tomorrow. So maybe I can sell her season tickets and make a little extra money in the parking lot.
Sounds good. Well, Coach, good luck. I appreciate the time. I know you're working hard, and you spent a lot of time with us getting ready. I know you got a lot before the game, but good luck to you guys. Good luck to you for the season, and appreciate you guys, and hopefully we can have you back on sometime during the season.
Awesome. Yeah, let me know anytime, and I appreciate you guys reaching out, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks for having me on.
Very excited to have Bubba. I just want to mention, too, not only thank you for your hard work. Isn't it amazing, and Kyle will bring you in on this, too.
Thanks.
How nice – no, I always want to bring you in, but the fact that how nice these baseball coaches are, I know they're fierce competitors, but every one of them has been so gracious with their time, and they've been really cool to us.
It would be kind of a novelty to have one come on and be a real asshole. That'd be kind of neat. Just have one come in there and just be contrary and grumpy through the whole interview and not want to answer questions and talk trash.
Are you talking about Bill Belichick?
Well, I mean, no. I'm just saying a baseball coach. It'd be kind of an interesting change of pace.
I think they know that they're representing the sport, and the sport.
Well, they're representing the sport. And by and large, you want to put your best foot forward when you're doing an interview. And honestly, how many interview requests does the Campbell baseball coach probably get? I mean, I don't mean that in a mean way. That's just being real.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, the baseball coach deserves more than they get, and I would say probably across the board, most of the baseball coaches.
Right, yeah.
So, but, yeah,
at Campbell, there's probably, it's probably not like – and I'm not talking – I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just – y'all know what I mean.
Yeah. So let's talk about – well, the time – got a little bit of time. Let's talk about the – what do you guys think about – tonight's matchup. I know one of my favorites, I love him. Gavin Williams is starting tonight for the Pirates. How do you guys, we thought that would be the case because we didn't see him all weekend. And thankfully the Pirates didn't get in a big jam on Radford. One thing that we need to mention, I know that Corey talked about, was the fact that look how many games we've got coming up. You've got the Campbell game. Then you have the Monmouth. We're going to have the Monmouth folks on this weekend. But we have a three-game series with them. And then, oh, by the way, you have the Monday game against Air Force Clark LeClaire. So you're looking at, like, what was it, Bubba, 5 games in 7 days or something like that, or maybe less?
Yeah, something like that. So, obviously, pitching is going to be at a premium. This past weekend, you referenced not using Gavin Williams. We also didn't use Jake Kuchmaner, so – it'll be interesting to see if he pitches some tonight against the Camels. Hopefully Gavin will have an excellent start. Now, thinking back to last year, he obviously appeared in many games, but I just right off the top of my head, I'm trying to remember. I don't recall him starting a game, but I may be wrong. But I think this will be his first career start.
I believe so. I remember him coming in and – definitely.
Who's Campbell throwing guys? Are they throwing a midweek guy, or are they doing like?
He's a first. You know, he actually Seth. His first name is Seth. He's actually from Lewisburg College, as Coach just talked about, and it's actually this is his very first start. His very first collegiate start.
He's someone who's very highly regarded. I heard Cliff Godwin talking about him on the Brian Bailey show last night. And Cliff was joking, saying, because Brian asked him, he said, you know who they're throwing? And he said, yeah, I was talking to Coach Hare earlier today. He said, yeah, the guy they're throwing, the name escapes me, but he said, very highly regarded. And he said, maybe we should not even get on the bus.
Is this a guy who can potentially work his way into the weekend rotation in Boise Creek?
The way we've heard him described, it certainly seems that way.
Yeah, they're actually, in other words, this is like a baby step, I think, for him, but they have high regards for him, and they have big plans, I think, for him. And this is a way, I think the same thing for, wouldn't you guys argue for both pitchers, that this is actually, I hate to say the word, a test for them, but this is a test for them to see how they do. And then from there, it's kind of like, yeah, it's a starter, but you want to save your best for, as far as experience. I think Gavin Williams has got some, I know him for, like, watching him, he's got some great stuff.
Gavin Williams, certainly has great stuff. Like Cliff said, I mean, with his velocity, his biggest thing is he just needs to focus on pitching and not throwing it past people. Not that that's all he did in the past, but just Cliff said this spring, leading up to opening weekend, he just said in the scrimmages he just did a great job of hitting spots and pitching more than he had done in the past. So Gavin's someone, if we're going to accomplish what we want to accomplish this year, I definitely think he'll play a key role, and it's just going to be interesting to see whether that key role is in a starting role or a bullpen role or probably both.
I
think he's probably going to see numerous starts, and then he's also going to see quite a few relief appearances. Probably, you think back to a guy like Ryan Williams, I think he may have started a few times, but he had just an unbelievable number of appearances. And I think it was one of the last year or two of Billy Godwin's era. But Ryan Williams is someone who saw long relief. He had had some 7 or 8 inning outings, and then he had closing roles as well.
You know, one thing that comes to mind, guys, is Corey made a good point the other night that you guys, we were talking about, warning about Trey Benton. Did you think it was interesting that bringing Trey out of the bullpen, but it may be because you're trying to, you know, you're probably going to be playing deep into June. And, you know, last year he had some trouble as far as, just health-wise, that you're trying to save him a little bit. I just thought that was interesting. It's not necessarily that that he's not, in other words, that he's not capable of starting. What do you guys think?
Well, last year he came out of the bullpen some and did a great job. So I think that's where they're going to try to use him. He's a great late inning guy. He could be a shutdown guy in the late innings if we're able to use him that way. If the other guys can handle their roles as starters on the weekend, So I think it's a good situation if we are able to use him that way.
Yeah, here's what my thing is that we're looking. I think Coach O was one to talk. You're looking at a situation, which is something we probably haven't had in a good while, where a number of years, where you have right now, wouldn't you say, I think he said 6 potential starters for pitching. I mean, that's
– We actually had luxury. We had some pitching depth the year we were supposed to be so daggum good and was disappointing.
Oh, 17.
Yeah, and we're disappointing. So I don't know. I don't know if we have any more pitching depth than we did then, but – we have a lot of good pitching, and you know, I don't see. Do you guys? Do we have Bubba? Maybe you'd be the best guy to answer this. Do we have the one big Friday night ace that scares people, or are we just a staff of solid pitchers?
At this point, I don't know that we have that guy. Like a Jeff Hoffman.
Yeah,
but we certainly have more depth than we have, like we've been discussing. And you're talking about the depth of the staff and having those 5-6 starters that you and truly rely on. You think about those North Carolina teams that made it to Omaha multiple years in a row. When you had Andrew Miller, I think it was like 07, you had a guy like Adam Warren who was starting in the midweek, and then we didn't have an opportunity to run an arm like that out there. So we were starting someone, and then we had a lot of times we would bring one of those weekend three to get their quote bullpen in for the week by them seeing two or three innings in those midweek games against NC State and North Carolina. But now we don't have to do that as much, and that's what when you have guys like Gavin Williams and Jake Tuchmaner.
Yeah, and the fact that. The one concern that most coaches will tell you is the relief pitching is something that is really, and I think the key for us is the middle of that middle relief is something that is concerning. I think Sam Lanier and we have Trey Benton, and I mean, it's like there's so many great guys that are coming out of the pen. Like you were talking about, Cal, you know, you could have, if you have Trey can pitch 3-4 innings, and then you have a setup guy, maybe then what would Lanier be the closer, right? I mean, so you have, like, all those guys are just, like, there's so many guys that are coming out of the bullpen that, you in other words, you're not having to have that, which is great to have an ace. I'm not trying to make an excuse like that. But at the same time, you also want to have the guys. If you have a choice, what I'm trying to say, between middle relief or the ace, you definitely want to have, I think, that middle relief, because if you only can win Friday, you need them for Saturday and Sunday. And I'll take the what we have right now. I feel very unusually confident as far as our across the board. I think our pitching is the best it's been in a good while. My concern for the whole team is not talent. I'm worried about the injuries. What do you guys think?
One of the things, as far as Trey Benton's concerned, his record is something that's very deceiving. And because you think about it, he'd been in a Friday night role a lot, and so he lost some hard fought games against other teams' aces. And so that's something that you have to keep in mind. And then also, I think I've heard Coach Rozelle and Coach Godwin allude to this in interviews. I think Trey, his command is so good that maybe he was around the plate a little too much at times, and then so that's something that I know, like in the relief role, that's what he obviously he's not going to go through the lineup more than probably twice, if that. I mean, and that would have to be a long relief appearance, so. So that's something that could benefit him in that relief role, where he's seeing two or three innings of work as opposed to five or six plus. But he's obviously an excellent starter as well. You think back to last year on that series with North Carolina, he struck out 11 guys in seven plus innings and just totally dominated the Tar Heels that night. So Trey Benton, I feel confident in his ability to perform no matter what the role is.
And I wanted to mention, too, off of pitching a second, too, we didn't mention the extra innings, but I think Brian Packard should be playing today. They were just being precautionary. If it was, I think Coach Godwin said, if it were May, he would have played on Sunday against Radford. I was concerned because I looked out there and didn't see him, and I didn't realize he had bruised his palm, but that's what had happened to him. And so they just did that. He's not injured, like, you know, like, in other words, where it's a big injury, but I wanted to make sure that I mentioned that. Speaking of injuries, but they did that as a precautionary measure, so he doesn't get hurt even worse. And then you have him out. If you have him out for a good part of the season, that's a big blow.
Yeah, like Cliff said, I mean, that would have been a dumb decision. I mean, those were Cliff's exact words. He said either dumb or stupid, one of the two.
No, dumb, but, right, Bubba.
Yeah, but
stupid
but,
and dumb.
And because I mean you had temperatures there, what, in the low 40s, and it felt colder than that. I mean, it's just brutal conditions for, I mean, that would have been ridiculous to have him in the ball game. So hopefully he's good to go tonight. If not, then he'll be back in the lineup for Monmouth, but I fully expect him, based on what we've heard, to see him tonight against the Camels.
I want to mention, too, folks, by the way, great job, you guys. And we had also had Corey Glor on our very first extra innings. If you're a big baseball fan, certainly with ECU baseball in this case, then you're going to love extra innings. It's every Sunday night, and we'll try to get out as fast as we can. And hopefully at some
and
point
yes.
soon we're working on being live.
That's right. And you guys can call in and join the show and ask great questions and bad questions and give comments on the show and all that kind of stuff and talk about the weekend that was in Pirate baseball.
I feel very confident, certainly with that show, that people were, especially through the, like Coach Justin here said today, it's 15 weeks for the hard to believe, but it's 15 weeks for the regular season. Our week number two extra innings will be this Sunday night. So be sure to listen to that. More than likely to be pre-recorded for early part of the season. We're working on that right now to make it live where you can call in, and we're going to have a lot of special guests, former players. It might be super fans. Who knows what the case may be, and maybe members of the media as well, but we'll have that coming up. Want to remind folks about that. Also want to remind folks, I know Bubba, a few more minutes that we have left. I know that I wanted to mention to folks, we've got a very special podcast that I wanted to talk about, and we're very proud of, and that's honoring Coach Keith LeClair, right?
Right. And so we were catching up with numerous folks who are, including his wife, Lynn, and then also daughter Audrey. Unfortunately, JD, his son, was unable to join us. But we're also going to be hearing from Chuck Young, and of course from Sportswork Ministries, and very close with Coach LeClair, Bethany Bratcher, who wrote his book, as well as having Coach LeClair's his devotionals mixed in throughout the book. And then we're also going to be catching up with some of his former players, such as former Pirates starting pitcher Davey Penny.
It's going to be fantastic. And that will be actually coming up right before the Keith LeClair Classic. So be on the lookout for that. And that'll be hard to believe, man. That's what, coming up next week? It's coming up pretty soon, right?
Yep. That's what those three games is going to be. It's going to be Utah, and then Wright State, and then Coach LeClair's alma mater, the Western Carolina Catamounts. So those three teams will be making their way to Greenville. No, they don't have the flashy names that some of the Keith LeClair field has had in the past. But at the same time, Wright State's a tremendous program, like Corey Glor was saying. They've really
Utah's in the Big Pac-12.
Right, Utah's a Pac-12 opponent. So certainly don't sleep on this field and get out to Clark LeClair Stadium and support the Pirates.
And that's that. I mean, the fact that it's baseball, they're doing very well, and the fact that they are a top 10 team for sure. And maybe, as Mike Rooney said, they could be one of those eight top regionals. I mean, they get the national seeds. I mean, it's the team has that potential. I really believe that. I've said to you guys, I feel like they're going to host the Super Regional this year.
Hey, guys, with Monmouth coming to town this weekend, is it Monmouth that has a former Pirate player as their head coach, or is it Stony Brook?
It is Monmouth.
Monmouth, okay.
And he's going to be on the program. So,
all right.
So when we put out our Monmouth preview on,
Coach O player.
On Thursday, he is a Coach O player.
All right.
That's awesome, but that just goes to show the program how strong and rich and deep the program is, the tradition of East Carolina baseball. And I think Pirate fans are going to be, again, this season, are going to be really surprised as far as not necessarily the wins, but I feel like it's going to be one of those special seasons. It's hard to say. Like I was talking to Coach Justin Hare earlier, with the interview, you don't want to get too high after week one, but you feel like that this team has got so much potential, and why you play the games, that's why it's exciting. I'm really excited about this season, and I know you guys have been, we've been talking about off air for a long time. Man, baseball is going to be special, but we mentioned about basketball, and please continue to support Coach Dooley. And then Mike Houston, we want to mention again, we try to do it every podcast, April 13th is the spring game. I'm not sure that they've announced the time, but March 15th, we'll be out there. By the way, folks, I want to give a shout out to all the great folks in the sports information department, including Tom and Malcolm and Chip, obviously, and Jody. I don't want to leave anybody out there, but there's a lot of great staff there. They work really hard. I haven't heard a time, but I do know March 15th is when it starts, and we'll be out there covering that for you. And then April 13th, we've got a special show planned that day where you guys will be able to call in.
So spring practice starts March 15th. The spring game is April 13th.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So March 15th, mark that down. The first practice for spring practice for 2019 in the new era of Pirate football under Mike Houston. It's going to be interesting to see there. And as I said many times, let's go out there. Let's get a lot of former players, a lot of Pirate Nation. I really want to see them. Yes. I want to see them go out there and support the program. So it'll be tremendous. Do you guys have any final thoughts?
I do. That's what earlier when we were discussing basketball, I wanted to chime in with that's what Steve and I go had an excellent article or post on Hoist the Colors earlier today. If you follow that closely, you've probably heard about 7-footer Charles Coleman, and he's someone from Massachusetts, and he is actually getting some recruitment from Duke now. So he's still on the board for the Pirates, but at the same time, I think there's a guy from I think it's Village Christian Academy in Fayetteville, maybe, but a guy by the name of Derek Fifi Kwanzaa. So
say what now?
Yeah. So Derek Kwanzaa, and his name and his nickname is Fifi.
Fifi.
So, I'm assuming that's how it's pronounced. It's F-I-F-I.
Fifi Kwanzaa.
Fifi Kwanzaa. And so he would certainly be on the all-name team if whether he comes to ECU or somewhere else. But
you make fun of him,
but anyway,
I dropped 30 on you.
Saw a little footage of him, and he certainly seems like he could be
maybe it's Spotify.
Who knows? But he could certainly be a tremendous rim protector for us, and probably he's right there.
Awesome.
I think he would be right there with Musa Badian and then Andre Washington, who were the top two rim protectors in our program's history.
By the way,
every
folks,
every time he blocks a shot, I'm going to scream out "Happy Holidays."
Sounds good to me. That's a great tradition. Hey, by the way, folks, on Friday we have a very special podcast because we have the basketball preview. Michael DeCourcy, Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News is going to be on that, and Todd Graffanini, right, Bubba?
Yeah, always love catching up with Graff,
yeah.
And never know what Graff
awesome.
Is going to. Yeah, oh, Mike DeCourcy is tremendous, and Graff, you never know what Graff's going to come out with. He's so unpredictable.
Yeah, best moment with Graff, we didn't get on the air.
Yeah, and the best moment with Graff, like Kyle said, we were. Talking about the excellent movie that is Christmas Vacation, so maybe we can relive that moment when we catch up with Graff.
Yeah.
I know our listeners will get a good chuckle out of it.
By the way, folks, want to remind folks about social media, right, Bubba?
Yeah, follow us on Twitter at TheSportsOBJ, on Instagram at TheSportsObjective, like and follow us on Facebook simply by searching The Sports Objective. And then also subscribe to our YouTube channel.
And we'll do that. And and by the way, leave us a 5-star review, right, Kyle?
Absolutely. We want your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else. You can leave a 5-star review. Seriously, guys, 5-star reviews, Stitcher, anywhere. 5-star reviews. For every 5-star review, you give us a puppy's life of
faith. Oh, my God. On that note. Do you have any final thoughts, Bubba, before we go?
I'm good, and go Pirates, and beat the Camels today and get a 4-0.
All right, for Kyle from LaGrange, Saving Puppies, Barber, and Bubba Rosenbaum, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.